Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here on the south side of town in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding fort like he's been now. Show 20-something is where we've been doing this now. Over in East Nashville, Chase McCabe in Bellevue.
East side.
On the west side of town, Marquise Munson.
West side.
Got things covered there at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is the Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. What show is this? I've lost count. I barely remember today, I mean, was Wednesday.
We're in the 20s. We're past a month, but I don't know exactly what show this is.
It's the new norm. That's how you know it's the new norm, is we've lost count how many times we've done it.
Right. Isn't that the truth, right? So, yeah, I don't have... So say I wanted to see if I had a calendar. So this is, what is today? The 22nd?
Yep.
Draft Eve. So there were, so this is the third show of this week. We had three the first three, there's 10. So that's 16 this month. And then we did, what, about 10 in March? 9 in March? Something like that. So I'd say we're in the mid-20s.
Because we started on a Thursday.
We did start on a Thursday. I want to say Thursday the 20th?
Yeah, that seems right.
Or 19th?
19th or 20th. It's somewhere around there.
Oh. Interesting.
But I've lost count. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there to start the show. Because, look, I've been lucky. You know, the internet... has done everything that it's supposed to do.
Don't do that.
But this is why I'm saying it, because Wi-Fi and everything is not working right now. I'm actually looking at my kit going, how am I still connected? Because there are issues. There are
really?
Issues happening. But so far, I'm with you guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how is that possible?
I don't know. That's why I'm nervous.
Well, good. Thanks for the heads up. Willie, when he just disappears, we'll just remember to keep talking. That means Chase has gone bye-bye.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm glad it made it through Matt Duchesne.
Oh, boy.
No kidding. Good interview with Matt
Duchesne.
Yeah, I
heard that was a good conversation.
Yeah, we will talk about that a little bit later in the show for sure. In fact, we're going to have Craig Smith. Crazy Legs is going to join us at 11 o'clock today. We'll find out what the Smiths have been up to in all of this. So that's coming up to kick off the second hour of the program.
The Smiths, that's a great band from the 80s. Did you guys listen to the Smiths back in the day?
No.
Not really a big fan, no. I mean, I'm aware of them, but I wasn't into the Smiths. Were you?
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. It was an acquired taste. I actually, when they were actually putting the music out, I wasn't as big a fan. I sort of started appreciating them later. Like in the college days, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah, it was not for me. But I am aware of their work for sure. I'm also aware of the work that the Tampa Bay Bucks have been doing this offseason. It has been quite the offseason for the Buccaneers. They are on everybody's radar once again. And, man, are they going to get a ton of attention. If there is a season this year or however the season is going to get played out, man, are the Bucks going to get a lot of attention. And they're going to sell a whole lot of tickets down in Tampa, because there was a big kaboom right after the show yesterday. And Rob Gronkowski telling Fox Sports he is back and he is ready to go. And he's going to do it down in Tampa with Tom Brady.
He's taking his talents to Tampa.
Taking his talents to Tampa. What do you guys make of that? Talking about a wow.
I'm not, I said this on the rundown, I'm not surprised necessarily, because we've seen, especially the last few years, a player take a year off and then they feel good. So they think, okay, I got a little left in the tank. Let's see what happens. But, you know, he's close to Tom, and I'm sure they've had conversations. And Drew Rosenhaus spoke about it, his agent, and said about a month ago he started showing interest and wanting to possibly do it. And I loved how Drew Rosenhaus painted the picture of, well, he wanted to do right by the Patriots. He knew that if he came back that would put them over the cap and be really tough on them. So, you know, he felt that just going to Tampa would be doing right by the Patriots. And I'm rolling my eyes going, yeah, no, I think he just wanted to go play with Brady. So I don't know if it's really doing right by the Patriots, but they still got a fourth round pick for him, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not all
that
surprised.
He was never going to play for them again.
No. Mm-mm. No.
No, it was I thought along the same lines when I heard Drew Rose, and I was like, wow. That's what a good agent does. He spends it, you know, he's a company guy, and he was just thinking of his love for New England and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and just wanted to do right by everybody. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's certainly a very, very wonderful spin. I don't suspect it went down exactly the way you're portraying it, but, you know, whatever. That's fine. That's your job. It's your job to shed everybody in a great, great light. Everybody's in harmony, and everybody's holding hands and roasting marshmallows together over a campfire and saying, how do we make everybody happy? Rob, we want to make you happy. Mr. Kraft, we want to make you happy. Let's just all be happy. How do we do that? I mean, I don't really think it went down that way, but, you know, A for effort for Drew Rosenhaus of painting that picture. He did it well.
Yeah. Yeah, he did, and he's good at that.
So the question is, what does Gronk really have
in the tank,
left in
yep.
the tank at yep. this point after a year off? The question is, did the year off help his body heal, and it will bounce back, and he will be effective? I was listening to Rex Ryan earlier today on ESPN on the Get Up. He had a good point. He said, you know, they've got O.J. Howard, right? They've got a pretty good tight end game going in. So Rob Gronkowski now could be
terrible last year.
More of a situational guy. Yeah, he's but he could be a situational guy now where you use him a little bit more when you want to. He doesn't have to be every down anymore. That might be a smart way to go, and the red zone could be his specialty, third down. So I think this is very intriguing, but I don't think we should expect Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski just to pick up where they left off 4 or 5 years ago. This is going to be a different set of skills that they both have, but if they can both be what they can be now, the Bucs should be a much, much better team. And the question is, are they a championship-level kind of team?
I think they are definitely a playoff team, no doubt in my mind.
Oh, for sure, there.
They are a playoff team, and what have I always said? Just get in, man, and then let the rest play out. I mean, I think we need to see what else they're going to – I mean – if I'm Tom Brady, I know he's been caught already in some private places down in Tampa, thanks to the mayor putting that out there for everybody to know. I'm sure he appreciated that, but I know he's been doing some workouts in maybe some places he's not supposed to down in the Tampa area. But he might want to also ice his shoulder a lot, because I have a feeling he's going to use it a lot this season, because I have a feeling that Tampa is going to be throwing the ball a ton. How are you going to keep everybody happy down there in that offense?
Yeah,
between Evans and Godwin and Howard and Gronk and Brate. I mean, they have a ton of weapons.
But that's what Tom wanted.
You have to be willing to sacrifice individual numbers for the good of the team. I think that's what we're going to have to see. It's not going to be about what you're doing in the fantasy football numbers category. They might all have to take a little bit less, but that might be what it takes to have a much, much better offense.
Yeah, and you brought up, what does Gronk have left in the tank? I mean, that's the thing. With the weapons that they already had, I don't know if you have to get 16 games out of him. Now, you want him, obviously, for the stretch run. You want him for the playoffs. But, you know, if he has to miss a few, you have viable options to fill in. And, I mean, the offense is going to be
load management.
Yeah, sure, if you want to call it that. But, I mean, it's going to be centered around Evans
and Godwin. I do wonder if they would do something like that.
They can. I mean, they would have the ability to do that if they wanted to. I mean, they have the players. But I mean, his top two targets should be Godwin and Evans. And then he's got Gronk that he's familiar with. I think that helps with the transition because you wonder how fast they're going to come out. Because I do think New Orleans still wins that division. I still give the edge to the Saints. But that's mainly because I think Tampa, it could be a little slow out of the gates, especially without the offseason program that they're used to having, and who knows how this stuff is going to affect training camp. So I think you have to factor all that in.
All right, so if I did the over-under receiving yards at 650 yards, would you take over or under?
Where'd you come? I'm curious. Where'd you
he
come up with
650? He had 682 in his last season, 2018. He had 682, which was obviously he started in 11 games. He played in 13 games. He was obviously banged up, playing through a lot of pain.
I think I would tend to take slightly under because I think the smart way to play him would be situational. And have, good efficiency, use them when you most need them, maybe do a little load management. I don't know. But I think that number is right around the ballpark. I think you've got it.
So you take a slight under?
I take a slight under.
And I guess that's where he went bye-bye. He gave us the warning.
The red flag was up.
Marquise, you speak for Chase. You take an over under 650 yards receiving this year.
Man, that's hard. That's 2,000 yard receivers on that team already, though. So I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I think that's what Witten did when he came back, too. He had a little bit of under 600.
Okay, so is that worth a fourth round pick? If it's under? If the answer is under, is that worth a fourth round pick?
I mean, if you're the Patriots, you use every pick wisely.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm with you. I'll tell you what, and I know it sounds silly, and I know they didn't do this for him to be a decoy, but even when he's not being used, there is value in Gronk being on the field, right? You cannot ignore him. No matter whether the ball's going to him or not, you are not going to be able to just ignore him. And so
even if he doesn't get the catches, it's going to make it easier for all those other guys you talked about, Godwin and Evans. And I mean, they've got some guys who you already have to account for. And now you throw him into the mix. Wow. That team should be money in the red zone.
Dare I say it, especially if they land a running back, would it be the best offense he's ever had? I mean, I hesitate that probably not. I guess when they had Hernandez and Gronk and Randy Moss, I mean, complete. I mean, he's never had two receivers like Godwin and Evans, right? He's never had that element.
I think if you look back, he had some pretty good offenses, but it's been a long time. I think we would agree on that.
Yeah.
Right? It's been years since he's had this many.
When we come back, we will head down to Tampa, and we'll check in with somebody who covers the Bucs and find out what has this offseason been like. I mean, it has been quite the ride for the last 4 or 5 weeks for the Buccaneers organization. We will do that on the other side. Darren Donick and we think Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game. Had a lot of Prince on the show yesterday. Paying a little tribute to him 4 years ago yesterday. CBS did a nice special on him, 2-hour special honoring him last night. Back around Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game here on this Wednesday morning. Let's head down to Sunshine State. Greg Allman, who covers the Bucks for The Athletic, and boy, have they been in the news here of late, and they did it right after our show yesterday with the news that they have struck a deal with the Patriots, and they are getting the services of Rob Gronkowski, and he is back in the NFL. Greg, what was the reaction down in your parts? I mean, up here, there was a ripple effect. What was it like down there?
Yeah, pretty wild. Again, much like it was 5 weeks ago with Tom Brady. I think there's been a lot of talk, a lot of wondering what he might do, and it was never really shot down. But yesterday moved very quickly from reports of him being interested in returning, and then within a half hour or so, a deal getting worked out and him being with the Bucs here for 2020.
As you can imagine, Greg, this offseason, the Titans were one of those teams to be heavily rumored for the services of Tom Brady. So As you can imagine, we talked about it a lot on the show, and I was absolutely all in favor of acquiring the services and getting Tom Brady here as their quarterback, because a lot of it was on just the business side of things. It needs to be the right fit, and it needs to work and make sense on the field. But I also said, you know, for an organization here in Nashville that has had struggles selling tickets, and the fan base has eroded over the years, and it's tougher to get people in the stadium, man. He sells out games, and it just creates a buzz, and everybody's talking about the Titans. That's now happening in your market. It's now happening with the team that you cover. What has it been like since Tom made that decision, and then what happened yesterday? I mean, is everybody – because I think Tampa was kind of in the same situation as the Titans, right? It kind of – when I watched Bucs games, it kind of felt like the same type of atmosphere. What has been their situation with the fan base?
Yeah, first of all, I had honestly thought – I mean, when we were going through reasons why the Bucs wouldn't get Tom Brady, I had thought the Titans were kind of the clubhouse favorite if he decided to leave New England. I just felt like he knew Mike Vrabel a lot better than he knew anybody here in Tampa. I think he probably would think of the Titans as being closer to win now mode. And I mean, they eliminated his team in the playoffs. So, I mean, I think there has to be a lot of respect there. So I think part of the reason things fell into place for the Bucs was the Titans being as loyal to Ryan Tannehill as they were to give him a big deal to stay there, you know, when Brady was probably an option. In terms of what it's done here in Tampa, it's huge. I mean, I don't know you can fully appreciate it just with coronavirus and kind of the world we live in right now.
Sure. Yeah.
But it changes everything. I mean, this is, as you mentioned, this is a team that was 30th in the NFL in attendance last year, you know, about 15,000 fans short of a sellout on average, and that changes in a hurry. I think it elevates the team nationally in a way that they haven't really been since winning the Super Bowl 17 years ago. So I think, you know, primetime games, I think Jameis Winston had maybe one Monday night game, maybe five total primetime games in 5 years. And Brady might have that this fall. I mean, you think about, you know, Aaron Rodgers comes to Tampa. Patrick Mahomes comes to Tampa this fall. They played Drew Brees twice. Those are all huge, marquee, mega quarterback battle games that suddenly put the Bucs in a lot more living rooms than they're used to being in. So jersey sales through the roof, I'm sure. They've just rolled out new jerseys here in Tampa just in the past month. Brady was the number one selling jersey in the NFL last year. So, again, this changes a lot of things above and beyond the football field.
I also made the case for him on the field. I still felt like, I know everybody's going to bring up his age, but I had no doubts that he still got enough in the tank for, you know, these next 2 years, if that's what it's going to be, for him to keep the thing rolling wherever he lands, what we've been accustomed to with Tom Brady. But I was surprised here how much pushback there was. Maybe it was just people, the hatred for the Patriots over the years. I don't know. But I'll ask you, what do you think Tom Brady still has in the tank? What do you think we can expect?
Yeah, like you said, you have to be concerned about the age. He's in completely uncharted territory. There's never been a full-time 43-year-old starting quarterback in the NFL. But like you said, I mean, he did more last year than any 42-year-old quarterback in NFL history. Twice as many yards, twice as many touchdowns as any 42-year-old before. I think the biggest thing he can change, and this is why the Bucs are making a change in the first place, is just turnovers. I mean, I think Jameis Winston showed he can throw for 5,000 yards, 33 touchdowns last year, but he had 30 interceptions. He had 5 fumbles lost. So, you know, Tom Brady's never had more than 14 interceptions in a season. So he gives you somebody who right away can cut your turnovers in half, if not better. So, you know, that helps things out on both sides of the ball, because the offense isn't turning the ball over, the defense isn't having to jump back on the field. I don't know that they expect him to be, you know, the Tom Brady of Super Bowl 2 years ago, but if he's even just the guy he was last year in kind of a down year, he's going to have better personnel to work with here than he had in New England last year, especially with Gronkowski on board now. So I think they have expectations of still being a really good offense and maybe cutting their turnovers down significantly.
Talking to Greg Allman from The Athletic. He covers the Tampa Bay Bucs, and we are getting insight on the Rob Gronkowski trade that has been agreed to between the Bucs and the Patriots. So, Greg, looking at it, you have a couple of really good tight ends already on the roster, and I was reading your coverage of the trade. They've got some salary cap issues. So what do you think's running around Bruce Arians' mind of what to do with Gronk, how to use him, and what to do with O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean, it's just a gluttony of talent there at tight end. You don't really need three tight ends like that. You know, O.J. Howard's inexpensive. He's on his rookie deal. He would probably benefit from being in the same room as Rob Gronkowski. But I think you have to just be careful with your resources. So they don't have a lot of room to make free agent additions. So I think you want to – I mean, usually the cheapest way to add talent is draft picks in general. So if they can trade O.J. Howard, they save about $2 million in cap room. I don't know what his demand or his market value is right now, but if they could get a third-round pick for him, they might see that as value. They might just go with Gronkowski and Cam Brate here. I mean, Cam Brate has 27 touchdowns in the last 5 years. That's fourth highest among NFL tight ends. So they'd still have a really good 1-2 here. You know, the challenge is that O.J. Howard played a ton of snaps. He played more last year than any year he's been in the NFL. A lot is the blocking tight end. And, I mean, you have to wonder how confident they are in terms of how many snaps they can count on from Rob Gronkowski after a year out of football and after being limited by injuries in his last 3 years. So that's my hesitation there, is just not wanting to trade away O.J. Howard unless you were sure you had guys that could step in and play the volume of offensive plays that he played last year.
Why do you think O.J. Howard's production as a pass catcher went down last year?
Yeah, I mean, he had a couple of plays that were costly turnovers early last year. First game of the season, had a pass that went off his hands for a pick, had another one of those, had a bad fumble in Bucs territory close to the end zone. And I think that created some hesitation in terms of when they go to him. He isn't the guy they've really gone to a lot in the red zone. They like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in the red zone. So his playing time was up. His targets were pretty close to where the year before. The big drop-off was touchdowns. He had 5 and 6 in his first 2 years, and he had 1 last year. So that's where the drop-off was. I think that could have certainly changed and still can change. If you think about how well Tom Brady utilizes the tight end, even if Gronk is there, I mean, I think Gronk becomes your primary tight end target now. But they've shown, I mean, the Bucs have had years where he and Brady had 5 and 6, 6 and 8 touchdowns. So you can have two tight ends that play well in this offense. Tom Brady had 1 year where he threw 24 touchdowns to tight end. I mean, Gronkowski had 17, which led the NFL, but their second tight end, I forget who it was that year, maybe Martellus Bennett, I forget, but he had 7 as the second tight end. So this is a position that can thrive beyond the number one. They just have to decide, you know, how they value keeping Howard versus getting a draft pick to help long term.
Boy, it does seem like a good fit for Brady. And with that in mind, what do you think, what can we expect the style of the offense to look like with the Bucs? Bruce Arians, how much does his philosophy mesh with what Tom Brady has done in the past, and of course Byron Leftwich in the mix as well? What's your vision? And also take a look at the running back position. That's another thing that maybe in the draft they could upgrade if they get that point. If they get that part of it fixed, wow, the potential is there.
Yeah, I think they'll work to kind of find a compromise and a middle ground between what Arians has always liked and what Tom Brady's strengths are. I do think throwing to the backs, throwing to the tight ends will be a bigger part of this offense for sure. Brady has always had success throwing to his running backs. I think he has more than 100 receptions to running backs in each of the last 3 seasons. So Arians has talked publicly about finding a pass-catching back and making that a priority. You could see the Bucs do that. I don't think it's a first-round thing for them at all, but I think they pick at number 45 in the second round, and that could line up with some of the top 3 or 4 backs in the draft. I mean, I don't know if that gets you DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor, but maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU. He's probably the best pass-catching back in this draft. He had 55, 56 catches last year. That's somebody that would step in and compliment a guy they still like in Ronald Jones, who stepped up and was their leading rusher this past year.
So Darren was asking you about the obvious bump that you're getting with attention, the Tom Brady jersey sales, the spotlight you're going to get nationally, the fan base. Let me ask you this, with the expectations that go along with this, what do you think is fair in terms of expectations for the Bucs now, where their roster sits?
Yeah, it changes everything. I mean, this is a team that hasn't been in the playoffs since 2007, hasn't won in the playoffs since the Super Bowl in February, January 2003. So you immediately go from that to having Brady and Gronkowski, who know nothing but postseason success. Brady's been in the postseason, I think, 17 times. So now you have, suddenly you're a team that not only has the expectation of making the playoffs, but, I mean, their success as a team this year is going to be entirely determined by what they do in the playoffs. It's not enough – for Tom Brady to just end that streak and end the drought here in Tampa, for him to think of this as a successful year is going to be measured in how many playoff wins he has. Tampa Bay has 6 playoff wins in their history in, you know, 40, whatever it is, 45 seasons. So if they come out and they don't host a playoff game, if they don't win the division, if they don't win a playoff game, it's going to be considered a disappointment by Tom Brady's standards. So that's, it sets the bar much, much higher than they've known here in a long time.
All right, last thing, Greg. I threw out, as we were talking about in the first segment, before we brought you on, over, under receiving yards for Rob Gronkowski this year, and I want to know how you're going to go. Over, under, 650 yards.
Yeah, see, when you said it, I had 600 in my mind. So if you go 650, if I just have to put the house on it one way or the other, I'm probably going under. And that's guarding against injury. That's knowing that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are really good receivers. If he has 600 yards and 6 touchdowns, I think that's exactly what they need him to be, especially if he's there for Tom Brady in the postseason. I mean, those two, that's when they've been at their best, is in the postseason. They've got 3 touchdowns together in Super Bowls. They've got, I think, 12 touchdowns together in the playoffs. So that's when he really becomes dangerous and earns his pay as Tom Brady's favorite target.
So if I had it at 599, you might have taken the over?
That's right. 599 and a half, it's a push for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the visit. Really,
right to the line.
Yeah, no, I just kind of threw it maybe, you know, I just, on top of my head, I looked at his last year, which was 2018, and obviously he was banged up some of it, which he was banged up a lot late in his career, but I think he had 685 yards in his last year with the Patriots, and I you know, there's going to be, he's not going to look like the Gronk that you know, we were used to 3 and 4 years ago, but 600, I thought 650 is about right. Mm-hmm. But
and Gronk, so, honestly, for Gronk, he's not really a yards guy as much as he's always been a touchdown guy.
Yeah,
I mean, he had more touchdowns in the 2010s as a decade than any player in the NFL catching the ball, receiver, tight end, anything. Had 79, so that's where he's going to be decided. If he gets 6-8 touchdowns, it'll be a great year. If he has 3, people will say he shouldn't have come back, all that kind of stuff.
It's going to be fascinating to watch for sure. Greg, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, of course. No, thank you guys very much. You guys stay safe. We'll talk soon.
You do the same. Greg Allman covers the Bucks for The Athletic. Good stuff there from him, talking about the acquisitions of Tom Brady and now Rob Gronkowski for Bruce Arians and that Tampa offense. Wow. And if they get a guy like DeAndre Swift or something, like I said, if they just get that running back, man, they are going to be lethal. They are going to score points. And remember, last year when the Titans played the Bucks, guys, they were the number one defense against the run in that game. Remember coming into that game, they were the number one defense in the league against the run. So if they still have a really good defense and they have those weapons on offense, could be pretty scary stuff there down in Tampa. We'll come back. Craig Smith, Crazy Legs, will join us at 11 o'clock today. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Maybe we can ask Crazy Legs with his days in Wisconsin if what he can tell us about their fine running back that the Badgers have. Where does he anticipate him going? Would he like to see him go to the Titans? But good conversation there with Greg Allman, just talking about the landscape of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, wow, when you hear that at the end, they haven't been to the playoffs since, what did he say, 07? 08,
yep.
Which one did he? I don't remember, 07 or 08?
Haven't
won a playoff game since they won the Super Bowl? Yikes.
Isn't that something? And only
Man.
6 playoff wins ever.
Wow.
Ever.
No wonder they changed their uniforms. Hi, I'm back, by the way. No wonder they changed their uniforms
Chase.
to what they were in the Super Bowl era.
Hmm. Well, they won't remember all that stuff this season. It's too bad. By the way, if they have to play the season without fans, you know, that really stinks for a market like Tampa, because I have to believe it factored into some of this, because you heard Greg talk about it. He's like, they're about 15,000 shy of a sellout every game. You know, they were not selling out games, and now it's a surefire sellout for sure. And if there's no fans, you know, they don't get any of that. They don't get to take advantage of that. I mean, that would be a hot ticket down in that area, and if there's no fans, You know, they don't get to take advantage of that. So what do you guys think this upcoming season is going to be? No fans?
Well, along those lines, Roger got up this morning with Greeny, and they were talking about that very thing. And he, as you can imagine, did not want to speculate too much. But he said, hey, it's going to be about the fans. And the safety of the fans is important. He was fast to say everything is still on the table, which tells me, you know, they want to play with fans for sure. But he knows that there is a legit chance that they won't be able to open stadiums at that point. But their intention is to play, and they have, you know, plan A, B, C, D, depending on where the nation is at that time with the pandemic. So he left open the possibility of playing without fans. It clearly is not his choice, but I think we all know it's a possibility. And you do think about a team like the Bucks not being able to seize the opportunity,
sure,
that they're going to have with the buzz that they're going to generate with these moves they made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if I'm being realistic, and I try to say that I'm a realist, that's how I try to view things. If I'm being realistic, I'm going to say the season will at least start without fans. Now, how it finishes, who knows? But if you have studied all of this and you've listened to doctors, I mean, what happens in football season? It gets colder. That's, you go into the fall and into the winter, and there's a very good chance that this thing flares back up again when we get into the colder months. So
why would you start with no fans and then think?
That's where I'm going with it. That they're going to start the season without fans, and there's a very good chance that they don't get fans, that the whole season will be played without fans. So that's what I would recommend everybody prepare themselves for. And to your point, Darren, the Bucks would miss a grand opportunity. Now, how open is the window? How long is the window open? You know, are they going to get 2 years out of Brady, or are they going to get 2 years out of Gronk? That's the question that I think people will be asking with all of this. But, you know, it would be unfortunate with everything they've put into this season, because they're going for it, that they're unable to reap the benefits of it. But I don't see fans being in stadiums.
I mean, this is
I would
part
go
of...
for one. I would be thinking in terms of 1 year if I'm the Bucks. I mean,
sure.
Realistically,
yeah.
If you got one great year out of those two guys, that
it was
would
worth
be.
It.
I would take that. I would take that. Yeah.
If you got one because great year out of both, I think, you sign up all day long, right? It was all worth it.
Sure. I don't know what they're going to look like in 2 years. That's a lot to ask of those guys at this stage with what they've been through. But if there's one last hurrah with those guys, you take that without question.
Well, when you look around at the NFC, the Rams are on a downtick. True?
Yes.
They're going the wrong way. So this is a team that was just in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and they're going the way wrong way. So I consider them, in fact, they're like one injury away from just being nothing but a, you know, average to below average team, a major injury. Seattle is going to be good. San Francisco is obviously probably the team to beat.
They hungover?
Or they hungover?
I think that's a fair question with them. Are they hungover?
There is that. Certainly that has happened. We have seen that all too many times. Getting to the Super Bowl in the next year, you just cannot duplicate it.
And I think you have to say Arizona's better in that division.
Arizona is better. Yep, there you go. How much better? Don't know. Are they a playoff team with the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray in his second year? I'm not willing to go there, but I'm definitely willing to go with you that they're much better. How much better?
There's going to be a team, and it may be Arizona, that is like San Francisco last year, that just everything comes together, and boom. All of a sudden, they're really, really good. There's always going to be a team like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This division is the question. I mean, the division as a whole, the NFC South, I think, is a question mark outside of, you know, the Saints and now the Bucks. But are the Falcons going to be better? Are the Panthers going to be better?
I mean,
what does it look like?
I think the Panthers might be better. They won 5 games last year. They'll be better, maybe. Maybe they flirt with 500. I don't think they're a playoff team. The Falcons were 7-9 last year. I think that's kind of what they are, maybe 8-8, right? I don't see them as really a playoff team. The NFC East is the NFC East. You just throw the dice in your hands and roll them. It's craps, man. Who knows what happens from the East?
Yeah, it's crap. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it really, you just don't know what you're getting out of the East. I think Green Bay, is anybody willing to say that they can follow up a 13-3 season and look the same? I think they played on a razor's edge all year last year. Credit them, they won. But, man, a bounce here, a bounce there, those are losses. And I just think Green Bay is probably more like a 10-6 team, right? More like a 9-7, 10-6 team than a 13-3 team. What are the Vikings after they, you know, they've lost Diggs? What are they?
Who knows?
And they've lost some guys on defense, a lot of key guys on defense. So, you know, are the Bears better or the Lions? You know, Lions. Bears were 8-8. I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is Tampa could be right there in the middle of everything. If everything comes together, it looks good on paper, right? It's a good paper team. But with Rob Gronkowski, who knows what he's going to look like? Who knows? He could get hurt in the first game and be done. You know, I mean, nobody knows how his body's going to react to and by the way, he's a lot smaller now, right?
Yeah.
A lot smaller.
He's lost a lot of weight. He's slimmed down.
So
but, I mean, he's still
he
got muscle.
But how much does he have to put back on, you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Because the reports were he was training to be a wrestler. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he's been doing. That's been his workout.
That is the X factor. You step away, your body heals. But also, you're removed from the game. And you, as you guys mentioned, that's a very important question.
I mean,
can he get back in shape, in football playing shape, to do the things that he has done before? That's not a given.
No, it's certainly not a given.
Look at Jason Witten. Let's use Jason Witten as an example because he
did better than I thought. I never
thought
he
did
that. Would be
look at the numbers. This is what's crazy. So 2017, 63 receptions, 560 yards, 5 touchdowns. 2019 comes back, 63 receptions, 529 yards, 4 touchdowns. Basically had the same numbers. So,
intriguing.
I mean, my point is there wasn't fall off. So,
and he's older. Witten's older than Gronk.
Yeah, he's 37. He's much older than Gronk.
Quite a bit older.
Gronk's
30. Way older.
So, look, I mean, if Gronk can show that there's not fall off, then I guess you can say that it worked.
So, Willie, you got a trivia question for us on the other side?
Oh, I got some great numbers. I got some great numbers to float at you guys. I want to see if you guys can get this stuff.
Okay.
On the other side. The Brady-Gronk combo.
Okay. We will do that on the other side to close out hour number one. That's next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
We got a Darren special song right here.
Oh, this is good stuff.
This is good stuff. Gets me excited.
Stuff.
Look, let me tell you something.
This is good music. This right here is good music.
16 years ago today, unfortunately, we got the very, very sad news that Cardinals safety Pat Tillman was killed in Afghanistan by friendly fire. Of course, he would have been former Cardinals safety Pat Tillman was killed in Afghanistan by friendly fire. Hard to believe that's been 16 years ago. I don't want to say I remember it like yesterday, but it certainly doesn't feel like 16 years ago.
You know, I remember covering that story, Darren. I can remember where we were. You know, it's weird. You flash back to the studio. Remember, we were in a couple of different, in fact, 3 different studios at our previous employer.
Yep.
If you can remember. Mm-hmm. Remember the makeshift studio for 1 year when we were over in an opposite corner where we were before? I can remember sitting in that studio and reading about and watching on TV the Pat Tillman story at the time. It's funny. As soon as you said that, that's my mind flashed right back to that room.
Because the first studio we were in was...
studio we were in for the least amount of time.
Okay.
The last one we were in for a good while. I mean, that was sort of made eventually for where our home ended up. We were in sort of two different, not the first one where you and I started, but then the second one. It's weird. Remember, there
this
was one
is
in
the stop before this stop.
The stop before this stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the one that we spent the most time in is when you came in the front entrance right to the left. Big studio right
correct.
To the left.
So right, this one was the furthest from the front door.
Yes, correct. I know exactly what you're talking about. Huh.
That's where
and
we
so
were,
that's where
when,
we were when this came down?
Yeah, when the Pat Tillman story hit.
I don't remember that, but that's interesting. Yeah, that would have been the second year we were at that stop, so that would make sense.
All right, guys, I've got, the stats. All right, 538, excellent website. They're talking about the sort of the analytics of the history of Rob Gronkowski with Tom Brady, how much better Brady is with Gronkowski. I think we talked about it with Greg, our guest from The Athletic down in Tampa. But Gronkowski has caught 78 touchdown passes from Brady, and that is by far the most of any combination. Right, that Brady has thrown to. So here's the first question. 78 to Gronk. What is the number of touchdown passes that the second guy has? Who's caught the second most touchdown passes from Brady? Or Brady has thrown the second most. What's the number first?
I have my answer of who. So do you want to know who it is or what's the number?
I want to know who it is, but also throw the number out there of how many you think he threw to him.
I'll take a guess.
All right, take your guess.
I'm going to say Randy Moss.
That was going to be my guess.
Okay, Randy Moss is correct. He
and
is
I'm
second.
And I'm
going
to say, well, I'm going to let you guess because I've got my number.
I'm going to say 34.
Yeah, I think it's in the 30s. I think it's going to be more like late 30s pushing 40. I'm going to say 30. You said 78 touchdowns. I'm going to go
78. For Gronk.
I'll go 38.
You guys are really close. 39 is right.
Okay.
So he's thrown twice as many touchdown passes to Gronk as he is to any other receiver. That's pretty amazing to me. So Randy Moss is 39. Now, who's third?
Ooh.
Third would have to be...
Edelman?
Edelman, yeah. Edelman?
Edelman is right.
Okay.
36. All right, who's fourth?
Now you're going to lose me.
I'm going to go Hernandez?
Nope.
Wes Welker. I don't
know. Wes Welker.
Well, Wes Welker's
right?
a good guess.
That would be my
Marquise
next guess.
Is right on.
Yeah.
Wes Welker.
Huh, good.
34. Okay, fifth and sixth. This kind of shows the rotating group of people around Tom Brady. The role players where no one guy stands out that much. I would imagine there's a long, long list if you went down that have caught, you know, between 15 and 25. These guys each have 24.
And none
one
of
is
them
a, one
is
a running back and one is a receiver.
One is a running back.
Okay, this is going to be out there. Just he was there forever and he caught the ball. Kevin Falk.
You're on the right track. Same role, different guy. More recent.
Deion Lewis.
Nope. Close. No. Who? But not him. But he's still there.
Oh, you're talking about James White.
James White.
Yes.
James White?
James White, 24.
24, wow.
Now, this wide receiver goes way back to the first run of Super Bowls that they had. This is the oldest one.
David?
Same idea. Not David Givens.
Not David Givens.
We have him on.
We do.
Louisville.
Branch, Deion Branch.
Deion
Branch is right. With 24.
Good
so that's
teamwork,
a pretty
Aaron.
Interesting set. So the margin between Gronk and the rest is staggering.
That is amazing.
I don't know. I didn't know it was that big, honestly.
Wow.
I didn't either. That's crazy, though.
That's 40 more touchdowns.
And then all the others.
Well, almost 40 touchdowns more than anybody else.
Yeah, double.
Wow.
Whew. All right, so Brady and Gronk with 78 hookups for TDs is fifth. All time in terms of combinations, prolific TD pass combos. Brady and Gronk with 78 is fifth. Now, can you name any of the other four?
I'm going to go Peyton and Harrison. There's got to be one of them.
That's number
Manning
one.
Manning and Harrison.
Okay.
Manning and Harrison, how many do you think?
You said that's number one?
That is number one.
I was going to say 90.
Jace?
So I was right there. Yeah, I was right there with you.
112.
Woo.
Okay.
All right.
Manning
two,
and Wayne?
Three and four.
Manning and Wayne?
No.
Manning and Wayne.
I don't think that's top
no.
five.
No. That is incorrect.
No. Rice is tricky because he had two quarterbacks doing
yep.
it. So mm-hmm. that one is trickier.
This could be a shot in the dark, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Young and Rice.
Is that an official guess, Darren?
I don't believe it, but yeah, I'll go with that.
That is correct. Young and Rice, number three on the list with 85. So 85.
One
hookups.
And three. We need two and four.
Two and four.
This could be a shot in the dark, but I'm going to take it anyway. Romo and Dez Bryant.
No.
Aikman.
If you want hints, I can give you hints.
Aikman and Irvin?
No.
How recent?
Okay,
are some of these?
One very recent and one going back old school.
80s?
Somewhat old school.
80s?
Yes, I will verify 80s.
Is the quarterback Dan Marino?
It is.
Okay. Clayton?
Yes, Mark Clayton.
So Clayton and Marino is what?
Fourth.
So we need number
79.
Two.
You need number two. So Manning and Harrison with 112 is number one. Number three, Steve Young to Jerry Rice, 85 touchdown hookups. Marino to Clayton, 79 hookups.
And you said
and then Brady and Gronk are fifth.
Two is more recent?
Yes, very recent.
Two is very recent.
Matt Ryan and Julio?
Nope.
No.
It's a good guess. Is it receiver or tight end?
So it's not Aaron Rodgers because he never had anybody.
I've asked a good question here.
What is it?
Receiver or tight end?
It's a tight end.
It's a tight end.
It's a tight end?
It is a tight end.
So the top two are the tight ends. Or no. I'm sorry. You're right.
Number two is a
but
tight
two
end.
Of the five.
Two and five. Two and five are tight ends.
Wow, why am I drawing? Is it not Tony Gonzalez? Tony Gonzalez is not. No, that's not. You said
player. Yeah, it'll be Tony Gonzalez and Matt Ryan.
It's got to be Shannon Sharp.
No, he's saying very recent.
Like,
The tight end has only recently retired. The quarterback has just changed addresses.
Oh, Gates and Rivers?
Oh, Gates and Rivers, yeah. That's got to be it.
Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates with 89.
That's a good one.
Now that shocks me. I would not
that's
have guessed Rivers.
I can't believe
Gates.
I got those. Right. I can't believe I got the other ones and not Gates and Rivers. Like, that should have been more the obvious one. Huh.
That's good. I like that.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Good stuff.
See, the tricky thing with – isn't that amazing? That just goes to show you, like, how crazy good – Young was when he was with the 49ers to still have all these records and basically Rice was getting it from Montana and Young. I mean, whew. Like when Steve Young was in San Francisco, I mean, that offense was ridiculous. In what,
especially 90, for the times.
In 90, right, exactly, especially in the times. In that 94 Super Bowl, they were like a 3-touchdown favorite in the Super Bowl. And covered over the Chargers.
They sure did.
All right, we'll come back. Crazy Legs Craig Smith to kick off the second hour. That's next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.